following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Shaddy and his wife Isabel and Nathan and Michelle live in Flower Mound, Texas, and he'll tell you exactly where it is, but I know it's north of the big cities of Dallas and Fort Worth. So would you guys welcome Shaddy as he comes up to take you into the scripture tonight?
Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, love you. How you guys doing? It is nice to be back. It is so good to see so many familiar faces. Honestly, this is my church. I love you guys. God has done such a mighty work in my life because of you guys, because of this church, because of these wonderful pastors. And not just Pastor Bill, but like all of like the staff here is so incredible. And I'm just blessed as you guys are. Let's pray. Father, man, how good you are, Lord. Thank you for all that you do, Lord, for the blessings that are so obvious right in our faces and even the ones that just kind of sneak in there that we don't even see coming, Lord. You are with us. You love us. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to us tonight, Lord, that your word would just resonate in our hearts. And not only would we learn, Lord, but we would apply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, yes, we are in Flower Mound, Texas. We moved out to Texas because I came to this church. I was sitting out there and Pastor Bill was giving a message, something along the lines of everybody is either a goer or a sender. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, not me, right? Like I don't mind sending, but I'm not going anywhere. And then the Lord started speaking, saying, no, you're going to go somewhere. And that was the beginning of the roller coaster ride. And I remember my last Sunday, I was sitting all the way in the back, like we always sat, all the way in the corner there. And it was one of the hardest days of my life. We were leaving on Friday. This is Sunday. And panic set in. What am I doing going to Texas? I'm born in Egypt, raised in California. It makes no sense that God would take me to Texas. And I was sitting there, and usually I'm surrounded by my parents and my wife, who is tuning in. Hi. And my kids too. Sorry. Hey. But usually they're with me. And for whatever reason, I was all alone that day. Maybe my parents were late. My wife maybe was packing. And I remember just being there and just the panic set in. And everybody around me was worshiping. Everybody around me was having a great time. But I was in some deep, deep waters. And then it got worse. I remembered that my church didn't pray for me. You guys know how on Wednesday nights, those people that are going out, you bring them up. And I'm like, my church didn't pray for me. My church didn't pray for me. We're going to go to Texas, to the place where they got guns, right? And I'm walking in and I don't know what's going to happen. My church needs to pray for me. And now I'm like, maybe I'm not supposed to go. The panic, I'm telling you, the panic. Anybody else like me? Just thank you. Thank you. And then the Lord was just like, shh. And it was wonderful. And you don't need to be prayed for. And that's what he told me. Like, do you really, really need that? And then he started telling me of all the people that are praying for me. Like, I need prayer, but I don't need to come up here for prayer is what he said. And it was like, I started counting them off. You know, okay, well, this person's praying for me. That person's praying for me. And I got to like 17. And the Lord was like, is that good enough? And I'm like, okay, that's good enough. And about that time, worship ended, and Pastor Bill got up, and he started talking, and the microphone started cutting out just like it did there. And to this day, I think it was because God sent an angel with really sharp teeth to start like biting the wire. Because when he did, Pastor Bill said something funny, and he's like, I'll be right back. And he started going around this way to make his way all the way to the sound booth to get a new mic. And when he did, he walked right by me. Now, I put my head back down, and I picked up my little martyr pity party. And I'm like, well, you know, 17 is good, but I need Pastor Bill to pray for me. I need the church to pray. And I kind of picked that back up. And as I had my head down, I get this tap, and I look up, it's Pastor Bill, and he says, "Shaddy, when are you leaving?" And I said, "I'm leaving Friday." And he says, "Can we pray for you on Wednesday?" And I said, "I have to check my schedule." Yes, of course you could pray for me. So we came, and Isabel and the kids, and we all got prayed for. That was the moment that I knew God was with us. And I knew that God was with us. And I knew we were called to go to Texas, but this was different. This was a special touch by God that I didn't deserve. And he just answered that prayer just to show off. Like, God shows off. He just wants me to know that he is God and I am nowhere near him, right? And so I could go and I could talk to him and I could ask him. And ever since then, I have been an awesome Christian. And I've been, now I wish I could say that. I wish I could say that. Sometimes there's good days, sometimes there's bad days. Sometimes I feel really close to the Lord, and other times I just feel like the world is just pulling me. Good things, bad things, just responsibilities, distractions. I just feel pulled. And I know the love of God is always there, and I know the presence of God is always available to me. But for me, sometimes I turn my back on it. And the beginning of the year, when everybody was making New Year's resolutions, I prayed, "Lord, I want to be close to you this year. I want to be really, really close to you. I want to see you move. I want to have stories like the Pastor Bill story, the stories that you guys are going to get to share. I want those stories where God is showing off in my life again." And he gave me this incredible verse, and it's kind of like the verse of the year for me. Go ahead, if you have your Bibles, and this is Calvary Chapel. I know you guys all have your Bibles. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:11. Amazing little verse. "That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands as we commanded you." That's it. That's all we're doing today. You aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. And as I got into this verse, I knew it was special. I knew there was something in it for me. The more I jumped in, the more it blew me away. Let me give you some context. Paul is writing this to the church at Thessalonica. This is a church that looks a whole lot like Refuge. It is a good church. It's got wonderful saints in it. This is a church that preaches sound doctrine. This is a church that's all about Jesus. Paul is proud of this church. He is constantly bragging about how wonderful they are and how they're fighting and they're walking a good walk. And even though this is the church that is in the world, this is a church that is facing temptations and distractions and even persecution, he still gives them this letter. Even though you guys are doing great, even though you guys are holding firm to the word of God, let me give you this as well. And this verse is kind of like them being refocused. This, you know, when I was driving over here, I was in my mom's car. And we were coming from Fountain Valley, so we got on the freeway, the 405. We're going north, right? North, 405 north. And getting off at Beach Boulevard, you got to make that big loop-de-loop to come to Refuge. So I'm making the big loop-de-loop, and I was going a little bit too fast. And I realized that there was no guardrail. So my mom's car is a little peppier than mine. So I hit the brakes a little bit, but those guardrails are really important. And I'm like, why isn't there a guardrail right there? Like that'd be a good place to put a guardrail. I felt like this verse is like the guardrail to my life. This is the verse that if I could follow it, it'll keep me in line. It'll keep me on this path so that I can have a closer relationship with God. Anybody else want a closer relationship with God? Yeah. All right. Aspire to lead a quiet life, mind your own business, and work with your own hands. Now, I think this is the weirdest verse in the Bible. Have you ever read anything like this before? Be quiet, mind your own business, and work. Let's unpack it. Let's see what Paul means, and let's see how we can apply this to our lives. Our first command, our first priority, is that we are to aspire to lead a quiet life. Do you see how personal this verse is? This isn't for your neighbor. This isn't for your spouse. This isn't for, you know, the Christian that's struggling. This is for us, our own hands, our business. You aspire to lead a quiet life. The word quiet here means to be still. It's used actually in a number of different ways. To be still, to be at rest, to live peaceably with one another, and to actually be quiet. I see some of the husbands nodding here, all right? But remember, this isn't for the wife. This is for you too. The first aspect of living a quiet life has to do with quieting our emotions. We are to live our lives from a position of rest. We live our lives from a position of rest. That means we're not anxious. We're not stressed. Why? We get stressed all the time. We're anxious all the time. But why shouldn't we be stressed? Because we have this amazing Father. This Father of ours, He sees us. He knows us by name. He knows the hairs on our heads. It's easier to count for some more than others. But He's promised to take care of us. So we can be still. We can be at rest. But are we? Do you live a life of rest? We run around. We have problems that need solving. We have errands that need to be run. We have chores that need to be done. We're constantly moving. We're constantly busy. But we need to be quiet in our soul. The second aspect of quietness has to do with quieting down the busyness of life. As we're running around, we need to quiet that down. If you want to get closer to God, it's not going to happen by being busy. If you want to draw closer to God, we need that quiet time with Him. I'm not going to get closer to my bride or my kids by ignoring them. No, I'm sorry, I can't talk to you today. I'm busy. I got stuff to do. No, we have to slow down. We have to quiet down. I think of Martha and Mary. How many of us are more like Martha? Okay, sorry. Let's start with Mary. How many Marys we got here? Okay, so I'm the only Martha, apparently. I think most of us are more like Martha than we care to admit. Super busy, exhausted, and God's like, hello, remember me? Be still, be quiet. You are worried and troubled about so many things, but only one thing is needed. And that one thing that Mary found was that she could sit contently at the feet of Christ and just enjoy Him. What was Martha's problem? Why was she so upset? Martha's problem was she was busy. She had all these plans. She made plans that Jesus never told her to make. And with those plans came expectations. I expect my sister to help me. I expect my sister to be in there with me. I expect my sister to cook. And let me say, her plans weren't bad. She was entertaining. She was cleaning the house. She was, you know, firing up the spit so we could cook the lamb and serve the drinks and get the hummus going, right? Like that's great. I'm down for all of that. But her plans took her away from her Lord. That's the problem. And when her sister refused to help, Martha got mad. I really relate to Martha. And I think a lot of us do. And I know that I need to quiet down that aspect of my life so I could actually sit at the feet of Christ. The final aspect of quietness has to do with just living an ordinary life. People gasp at the fact that I would even say that. I don't want to live an ordinary life. I want to be significant. I want to be someone. My parents told me I'm special. I got all these trophies for participating, right? Like we live in this age where we're all our own gods. Like look at social media. We're like little celebrities. Each one of us, we walk around, we're our own paparazzi too. We're taking pictures of ourselves. We want people to see how happy we are. We and a lot of times, I don't know how many happy people are on social media, but like, look how happy I am. Look how everything is great. Look how successful I am. Look at how I'm traveling to this place and to that place. And we want to wow them with our intellect and how deep our thoughts are. Why? Because we see ourselves as someone really special. And we want other people to see it too. We deserve a great life. We deserve to be happy. We deserve to be listened to. We're going places. And what happens if that gets messed up? When our spouses don't play along. When God doesn't grant us our wishes. We get angry. We turn on the Lord or the people close to us, we start complaining. Why? Because we aren't content with a quiet, normal, ordinary life. That's pride. And when we're prideful, when we have these expectations, it's really hard to draw close to God. Dare I say it's even impossible, because in the book of James, it says that God opposes the proud. Literally, God stands against you. Now, I've said it a couple times. I'll say it again. This is not easy. Living a quiet life in all three of these aspects is not easy. Denying our flesh is not easy, because living a quiet life is not our default setting. And that's why Paul says, aspire to lead a quiet life. Make it your ambition. Strive at it. Work hard for it. Now, I saw this striving in action at my very first pastor's conference. I wasn't a pastor at the time, but I got invited to go. And I was like a kid at Disneyland. Like I was this close to pulling out my Mickey Mouse autograph book. Like it was, there's so-and-so, there's this guy. And it wasn't so much I was impressed with them as the fact that I am in their midst. Like, what am I doing here? I'm waiting for someone to say, you know, members only, you know, you need to go. But I'm walking around and like, boom. And I ran into this pastor, and this is a pastor you all know and you all love, and I'm not going to tell you who he is because I don't want to steal his reward and I don't want to puff him up, but I'm going to change his name. You'll never be able to figure out who it is. Let's call him Pastor Phil. Pastor Phil. I'm walking around, and I bumped into him, and he said, "Hey, Shaddy, which way are you going?" And I'm like, "I'm going this way." He's like, "Well, let me walk with you." And we start walking together. And we don't get three steps. And then people just, "Hey, Pastor Phil, I heard you on the radio. You've touched my life. You're great, and the Lord's used you and all this." And he's very graciously, "Oh, thank you." And then he does something I didn't see coming. I'm backing up, you know, I'm going to let them have their moment. And he goes, "Have you met Shaddy?" I thought that was weird. They're like, "No, why are we meeting Shaddy? Who is this Shaddy?" I'm Shaddy. "Oh, okay. And you know, the conversation ended, and then they leave, and five steps go by, and we're walking again, and more people. And he does it again. Have you met Shaddy? I was the sacrificial lamb. I was his shield. And I didn't get it at the time. But it was his way of deflecting the attention, deflecting the glory that doesn't belong to him. It belongs to the Lord. It was the Lord doing all this. And I learned such a valuable lesson that day, and it was really cool. So, yeah, brilliant. Okay. We have to learn how to crucify our flesh. We all want to be someone. We all want to be special. We all want to be famous. We it's in us. We want that. It's the first temptation. We can be like God, but we have to fight against it. Okay, shall we take on the second aspect? Well, first of all, before we go on to the second aspect, let's talk about how we can do this. We talk about leading a quiet life. What does that look like? How do we do that practically? Those people that live a quiet life are able to do so. Those people that are content in their circumstances and comfortable in their own skin are able to do that because they have something that many other Christians might not have. They have a treasure. Their treasure is the Lord. And he outweighs any of the worldly ambition. He is better than winning the lottery. He is better than being promoted. He is better than anything that this world could offer. He's even better than their circumstances. As difficult as they find themselves in, as difficult as the circumstances they find themselves in, they know that they have a Lord who won't abandon them and who is able to pull them out. And if he doesn't pull them out, it's because he's going to use it for good. So now there's this contentment. Lord, I'm not comfortable here, but I know that you're with me and I know that you've brought me here. So I'm okay being here. And now they could smile. They can have peace. Jesus in Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me. Let me teach you something. Let me show you something. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls." Rest for your souls. Does anything sound better than that? The Lord wants us to be still. He wants us to find rest. He wants us to live peaceably with each other. And that all begins by us striving to live a quiet life. So strive to live a quiet life. Quiet your emotions. Quiet the busyness of your days and crucify your flesh, because that is the only way to quiet down your ambitions. David in Psalm 131 said this, "But I have calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child, I am content." May we quiet our souls and find that kind of contentment as well. Our next priority, so that we can draw closer to the Lord and be free from this world, is to mind our business. This is always a favorite with Christians. If you're ever going to memorize a Bible verse, I'm telling you, this is the one, right? You pull that out at any time, you know, "Thus saith the Lord, mind your business," right? That's just kidding. That's not what it's about. Paul is saying, mind your business. Mind the things that you are responsible for. Mind the things that God has entrusted you with. So what has God entrusted you with? David Guzik said that Paul is comparing the lives of a believer to an actual business. And that was really interesting for me. Because a business has all these different compartments and departments in it, doesn't it? There's the IT, there's sales, there's accounting, there's quality control. Some are more important than others. Some are more urgent than others. But they all serve a function. They're all important in some respect. And if one department fails, then it puts at risk really the entire company. So if we take that analogy, we have to mind our own business. We have to make sure every department of our lives that God has entrusted us with gets the proper attention that it deserves so that it keeps on going. So what are your God-given responsibilities? It's going to be different for everybody. But I think we have some common ones. We're all Christians. So we're responsible for our walks with the Lord. You might be an employee. You might be a stay-at-home mom. You might be responsible for a spouse or for your finances. You might have kids, cool ones like Nolan. You might be a student. There are the things that, these are the things that make up our business. And we have to be faithful to what God has given us so none of these areas fail. And I'm going to throw it out there. If you call yourself a Christian, your number one department, the foundation of your business, the foundation of your life, is your walk with God. How your relationship with God goes, so goes your life. Israel is a prime example of this. Generally speaking, when Israel is walking with the Lord, they are secure. They are protected. They are blessed. God doesn't have to correct them. But when the idols start coming in, when the rebellion starts going out, then it's shaky ground. God opposes them. And maybe you're looking at your life and you know you haven't been right with God. The lines of communication are kind of like the microphone. They're cutting in and out. Maybe you've turned a blind eye to sin. You know it's wrong, but now we've just kind of accepted it. Well, that's just who I am. You shrug it off. You sweep it under the rug. Maybe you've stopped reading your Bible. You used to read it all the time. You used to read it with urgency and passion, and you just devoured it. But now it's like this chore. And I got to check the box and I got to do it. And God's not speaking to us like he used to. Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe that's dried up. Sure, you might pray, but it's just in passing. Why do we let all these things slip? Well, if we're honest, it's because there are other things that are more important to us than our walk with God. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the very definition of an idol. If we've been growing an idol in our lives, it's time to tear it down. We cannot get close to God with this monstrosity sitting in his seat. And it's not just about saying, okay, well, I'll read the Bible more, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, but you need to sit down with the Lord, and I need to sit down with the Lord, and we need to figure this out. We need to pray and say, Lord, show me. And he does. He'll speak to you, and sometimes you don't want to hear it. It's just brutally honest, but Lord, show me. Search my heart. Carve out some time, develop a plan, grab a buddy, let him or her be your accountability partner. But prepare your ways before the Lord your God. And that's actually one of my favorite verses, 2 Chronicles 27:6. We read about this king that is not famous at all, but he was a good king. His name is Jotham. And the Bible says that Jotham grew mighty because he prepared his ways before the Lord his God. Such a powerful, powerful verse. I like the fact that they don't tell us what Jotham did, because it's not going to be a cookie cutter thing. It's going to be different for you as it is for me, as it is for Pastor Bill, as it is for Jotham himself. But we have to prepare our ways before the Lord our God. That's department one. Department number two, if you're married, department number two, without a doubt, is your spouse. Gentlemen, your wives are your business. Ladies, your husbands are your business. We need to mind our own business. Outside of God, this needs to be the strongest relationship that you have. You need to be pouring into one another. Gentlemen, we need to woo our wives again. Touch them. Tell them how great they are. Because if we're not, who will? In God's eyes, we are responsible for our spouse. And Pastor Phil over here said something the other day, which was really good. He said, we are responsible for taking care of his daughter. My wife, before she's my wife, she is the Lord's daughter. Now, I love my father-in-law, but there's no way I'm going to talk bad about her in front of him. How much more than would I respect her in front of God? This is such a big responsibility. And this department is also paramount. If this department fails, it's going to affect every other aspect of your life. And I know there's people here who have experienced this, who have walked this. They know the pain that's associated with a divorce. And I know they'd be happy to share that pain with you, to encourage you not to get a divorce. And if your marriage is on the rocks, I encourage you to talk to one of these wonderful pastors. I encourage you to pray. I encourage you to mind your business. What else? What other departments do we have in our lives? Kids. Kids is a good one. This morning we were at a mentor, like training class, and an older gentleman named Rusty. I don't know if Rusty's in here, but I don't want to take credit for what Rusty said. Rusty said that taking care of your kids and your parents are time sensitive. You know, this is a department that has a clock on it. You're not always going to take care of your kids. You're not always going to get to spend time with your parents. So while you have them in your house, pour into them. Love them. Because one day they're going to be gone. And especially with kids, it's so easy to leave them alone on their iPads. And I'm sitting down next to you, by the way, because I'm speaking to myself. It's so easy to let the iPad babysit them or the phones babysit them and not to be present in their lives. And they need us. They are our ministry. If we don't pray for them, who will? If we don't pour into them, who will? Well, the world will. We need to be mindful of this aspect of our business. Another department could be work or our finances. But it's clear we need to mind our own business. The last priority. Strive to lead a quiet life. mind your own business, and work with your own hands. The idea behind this is pretty clear. Hard work, right? Paul's telling the church to work hard. Get in there. Don't let the days pass you by. And I got to say, there's something really good. It feels nice after working a long day. You get to come back with your dirty, oily, stinky hands and you wash them off and you hit the pillow and it's like, today was a good day. Today I accomplished something. It's a good feeling. It satisfies us. This command to work with our own hands is a very interesting command. I got caught up on the part with work with your own hands. Because at that time, the only people who worked with their own hands were servants. They were slaves. They were common folk. You never saw the Pharisees or the scribes or the rich young ruler. You never saw them out fishing. No, they had somebody to fish for them. You never saw them out in the fields, you know, on their hands and knees, getting dirty, getting their fancy clothes dirty, pulling up wheat and whatever. I don't know how they did it, but they did something, right? It was the poor people who did that. It was the servants who did that. And Paul's writing to the church, and he's telling the church, I want you all to work with your own hands. I wonder if the church was confused. I wonder if some of the people scratched their head and said, well, I don't work with my hands. I have servants to work with my hands. This wasn't a church that consisted only of slaves and servants. There were rich people there too. There were people that had servants for their servants, like very wealthy people. And yet Paul, the invitation, the command is clear. I want you all to work with your own hands. What's he saying? Yell it if you know. Be a servant. That's what he's saying. Whether you're old or young or rich and poor, get out there and be a servant. And this all ties in together real nicely. Lead a quiet life. Don't think too highly of yourself. Handle your business and get out there and serve the Lord. And isn't that how you get ahead in the kingdom of God? Right? If you want to be somebody in God's kingdom, you got to be nobody here. That's what Jesus said, right? When the disciples were fighting about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom, which I would have killed to see that conversation take place. But I'm going to be great. No, I'm going to be great. No, you're nothing. And Jesus, what did Jesus say? He said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you have to be servant to all. Be the person who's always working. Be the person who always has their hands dirty. Be the person even who's overlooked, that no one even sees them working hard or serving. The reason I loved Calvary Chapel at the very, very beginning, I used to hear Pastor Chuck on the radio. And I would listen to him, and I was always a little leery of churches because, you know, I don't know, I was just leery of churches. And I went one day on a Tuesday, and nobody there. I went for the bookstore. I wanted to buy the latest, was it a record or a CD at that time? I don't know. And I pull out of my car, and I start walking to the bookstore, and off in the distance, I see this older gentleman in a golf cart. And he's driving pretty fast. He caught my eye. Like, I'm looking at him. And all of a sudden, he stops the car. He gets out of the car. He's got a little trash bag. He bends down, picks up the trash, puts it in. There's no one to see him. There's no one to watch him. He gets back in the little buggy, and he drives off. And then I noticed it was Pastor Chuck. And I'm like, that's my pastor. That's my pastor. That's somebody I want to follow. And that's how I got in. I it's not just that I need to see it, but that's what the Lord wants to see. Pastor Chuck was blessed because he was such a servant to all. And this church is an awesome church. This is a serving church. This is a sending church. Don't tell me there isn't opportunities to serve in this church. Join a homeless ministry. I met someone who goes to prisons and visits with women. Share your faith with people. It doesn't even have to be in a capacity at the church, but as you're in line at the checkout counter, at Walmart, right? Just ask the clerk, hey, can I pray for you? Is there something that you want God to do? And I've never had, they look at you like you're crazy sometimes, but I've never had anybody say, no, I don't need prayer. Sometimes they'll just totally open up to you and they'll start telling you things. And now you know how to pray for them. And now you've got this insight into this person's life that you, how did this happen? It was the Lord. And you go home that night and you put your head on the pillow and you start recapping the day's events. Lord, I can't believe I got to pray for that lady. Lord, I can't believe you put that person in my way. Lord, I can't believe you did this. Oh, you're so great. See, a quiet life doesn't necessarily mean it's not an exciting life. The Lord offers us a very exciting life. I didn't do it on purpose, but at the very beginning, I compared my life like a roller coaster. It is fun. And I don't want to get off. I just want to keep on going. I want to know what God's going to do next. But I want to be in His will. So we live a quiet life. We take care of our own business, and we get out there and we serve with all we have. And I'll share one more thing with you guys. This morning again at the Mentors Conference, I got a lot of good ammunition. We studied Jesus on the road to Emmaus and how he walked with those disciples. And we talked about how the disciples were feeling. Jesus died. They were hopeless. They thought he was going to be their savior. And by the looks of it, Jesus is dead. And now they're leaving. They left Jerusalem and they're walking away. And they're leaving their ministry, they're leaving their brothers, and they're going wherever they were going. And the teacher made such an incredible point. What was said was that Jesus walked with them in the wrong direction for 7 miles. That blew me away. For 7 miles, Jesus is walking with them in the wrong direction. He wanted them to go there, but here they are, they're walking this. And if you feel far from the Lord tonight, if you feel like you've messed up, if you feel that you are not worthy to be close to God, I want you to know that Jesus is walking with you every step of the way. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. And he just wants you to see him. Let's pray. Father, I can't begin to tell you, Lord, how grateful we are for your love. How patient you are with us. Lord, I pray, Father, that we could implement living a quiet life, minding our own business, and serving you, Lord, with all that we have. Lord, we want to be near you. Help us, Lord, to not be distracted by the things of this world. Help us to recognize the fiery darts of the evil one. And Lord, as Pastor Bill prayed, may you have your way in us and through us. And Lord, bless this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Keep saying yes to Jesus, to all those things we studied about tonight. To, you know, living that quiet and peaceable life, to saying yes to the business that God has called you to, and walking into all those things. All his promises toward you are what? Yes and amen. And all of our responses need to be what? Yes and amen. Lord, yes and amen. And you will not regret a life lived like that. Yes? Amen? Amen. Let's go do that. God bless you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free my heart.